Chapter 13. A Horse Called Gilbert. Spiggy rode into Hell Close on the back of a brown horse called Gilbert. When the horse came to Anne's house, they stopped. Spiggy got down from the horse and led him up the garden path to Anne's front door. When Anne opened the door and saw Gilbert's gentle brown eyes, she instantly fell in love.
"Where did you get him?" she asked, putting her arms round the horse's neck.
"I bought him from a man in the pub," said Spiggy. "He hasn't got anywhere to keep him."
"And have you got anywhere to keep him?" asked Anne.
"No," said Spiggy. "But he looked so lonely that I felt sorry for him. He was only 50 pounds, and he's a good horse. He's even got new horseshoes."
Anne agreed that Gilbert was a fine horse.
"What was he used for?" she asked.
"He used to carry tourists on expeditions around holiday areas, but he's too old now," explained Spiggy. "He's used to people, and he's very gentle."
Anne could see that. She inspected the horse. He seemed very healthy. There was no saddle, but she pulled herself up easily onto Gilbert's back and rode him into her garden.
"You're the only one with a big enough garden to keep him," said Spiggy, hopefully. "We could build a stable here, and you could take him for a ride in the park every day."
"I haven't got the money to keep him, Spiggy," said Anne sadly. "I haven't even got enough money to feed the children properly."
"I'll pay for him," said Spiggy. "My dad was a gypsy, so I'm used to horses."
Anne stroked Gilbert's nose. How could she refuse? That afternoon, Spiggy came back with wood to build a stable for Gilbert. The Queen arrived carrying a saddle.
"I couldn't imagine life without horses," she said, "so I brought this saddle with me when we came here. You can use it."
"How's your son doing in prison?" asked Spiggy.
"I don't know," replied the Queen. "I haven't heard from him yet, but I've sent him some books."
"He won't be allowed to keep those," said Spiggy.
"Why not?" asked the Queen.
"You might hide drugs inside them," said Spiggy.
The following morning, the postman brought a letter for the Queen. It was, as she had hoped, a letter from Charles. Castle Prison, Friday the 22nd of May.
"Dear Mammy, as you see, I've enclosed a visitor's pass. I'd be very pleased if you would visit me. It's horrible in here. The food is terrible. By the time it gets to us in the cells, it's cold and hard. Please, when you come, bring something nutritious like cereal bars and fruit. Could you also bring me some good books to read? It's very boring here. The governor is treating me with great respect. This is causing problems with the other men. I understand them. Why should I get special favours just because my mother was once the queen? Please could you write to the governor and ask him to treat me badly and perhaps to punish me sometimes? I'm sure this would make life easier for me, and I know he'll listen to you. As you can see, I made a mistake on the visitor's pass. I intended, of course, to write Diana's name after yours, but I wrote Beverly Threadgold's name instead. I don't know why. I hope Diana won't mind waiting a week or two. Meanwhile, could you please remind her to water my garden while I'm here? Love, your son, Charles."
The Queen wrote to the governor immediately. She said that she would be grateful if he could be a little unkind to Charles sometimes. She believed that this might help him make friends more easily. She also complained about the cold food the prisoners were getting. That same morning, Charles received a letter from Diana, full of childish trivia.
"Charles, darling, I'm sorry I haven't written before, but I've been so busy. I hope you're well. I've had my hair coloured. It's now much darker than it was. Everyone says it suits me, but I hope it doesn't make me look older. I found a really nice trouser suit in a charity shop, sort of a pink beige colour. I wore it to William's parents' evening with my white shirt, the one with the round collar. William got 15% in a maths exam. I told his teacher that nobody is good at maths in our family, but he said, "You were able to calculate your income tax all right." What did he mean?
The letter continued like this for several pages, and Charles became very irritated by it. Each sentence reminded him of the differences between them. Meanwhile, on the other side of London, Sayako, the Emperor of Japan's daughter, came out of the changing room in Harrods, the most expensive shop in London. She was wearing the same suit which had appeared on the cover of the British fashion magazine Vogue. The mannequin in the window was also wearing it. "That colour's very good on you," said the manageress who was standing behind Sayako as she looked in the mirror.
"I'll take it," Sayako said, "and in red, black and cream too."
Sayako looked at the mannequin again and noticed the perfect shoes and bag she was wearing.
"I'll take those shoes and that bag as well," she said, "in all four colours, of course."
The manageress smiled. She liked this customer. Then Sayako gave the manageress a platinum credit card. On it was the name of her father, the Emperor of Japan.
"So, she's a Japanese princess," thought the manageress.
A bodyguard put Sayako's shopping in the back of the limousine, and her driver returned her to the new Buckingham Palace Hotel, where she was staying.
"The British are so tall,"
thought Sayako as they drove along.
"Why is it necessary to be so tall? My father is a small man, and he's an emperor."
Sayako was tired. She had started shopping at 10:30 in the morning, and now it was 6:15 in the evening. She hadn't even stopped for lunch.